And now over to Paddy McAloon, well known as the leader of Prefab Sprout, but not so well known as the creator of I Trawl the Megahertz, an album of orchestral chamber music with words spoken over it by an American actress who tells of love lost and found and then lost again. Aside from anything else, this is an intensely radiophonic album, so it made sense to get Paddy McAloon on the line to talk about how he came to put it together.
Well, about 5 years ago, I started to have problems with my vision, and it was diagnosed as retinal detachment. So I spent the last few years having surgery to put that right. One of the things that you are supposed to do is to sort of lie still in a certain position, and it was in that sort of recuperation time that I started to listen to the radio a lot at night and got the idea for a record made of disjointed sentences that I would bring together and try to make into some sort of poetic story.
So what were you listening to?
Oh, everything, really. Chat shows, or phone-ins, you'd call them. Mm. So there'll be a lot of monotonous material, really, but a lot of heartfelt stories. And then I'd have one or two documentaries, dry, factual things, and I would take the odd word. I would never take huge chunks of anything because I don't want to be sued. And I wanted to make something out of random cut-up snippets of information.
Oh, right, I didn't realise this. So does this mean that all the text that's spoken on the record is actually taken from other people's conversations?
To be honest with you, in the end, it's not. In the end, I had to junk a lot of it because it simply was too boring. But what I got was the idea for this tone of voice and the character, the woman talking about her past. And I had the opening line, I'm telling myself the story of my life. So that's an actual quote from the radio. As is, your daddy loves you, your daddy loves you very much. He just doesn't want to live with us anymore, which was some poor woman on a phone-in show. And in between those two statements, I kind of had to make up a lot of things myself because I just couldn't find the material I wanted. But I got my ideas from listening to the radio.
Do you feel completely abandoned and lost?
What's wrong?
49 divorced.
Now you're falling apart. Yes.
The story that's told, which I find quite fascinating every time I listen to it, and it reveals itself sort of bit by bit, was it conceived as a straightforward one-person narrative, or were you, as you said earlier, sort of bringing different voices to play in it?
You know, there's a vagueness in it which I see as it's puzzling. To get a straightforward narrative being consistent with a one point of view might be hard. And that's a deliberate thing, because I'm not entirely sure that I want anyone to think that it's immediately graspable as just one person's story. But at the back of my mind, I try to make various sections of it relate to periods of someone's life, like the plane coming down behind enemy lines. Originally, I thought that related to maybe a baby being born without any skills and someone having to look after it and give you a name that you might grow into. And then I realized that there were so many aspects that relate directly to childhood, also relate to people's stories in later life, so that just as you will find someone lamenting the loss of a father, they might relate that problem to troubles they have in later life,
yeah,
in their relationships. So that's why she says twice, your daddy loves you, he just doesn't want to live with us anymore.
Mm. So you composed this piece of text. How did the music come about? Because the music is, in a way, the way the music's structured is just as mysterious as the way the words are put together.
Well, thank you. Well, I should say two things. I like mysterious things. There is a risk of pretension, and I fully accept that. But I like mysterious things that you can disappear into. So at some point when the eye problem receded, I got back to my computer.
Hang on, one by this time, Paddy, had you put the words together by this point?
Some of them.
Right.
Some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept refining them all through the writing of the music. I did, to be honest with you, I didn't pay too much attention to the correlation between them both. I thought, make sure the music works and slot the text in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the music was, in part, an improvisation that I liked.
And where were you drawing inspiration from? What had you been listening to? A lot of your Prefab Sprout fans will be quite intrigued, I think, by the sort of the range of styles that you get into in this orchestration.
Well, the music that I really love is musical that I'm incapable of writing. So I like modern classical music.
Such as?
Well, I like Pierre Boulez. He's my hero.
Uh-huh.
He's my hero. But I realized that he's working in a completely different field, the serialist field, which I'm interested in, but has no relation to pop music. But
so
I like
that. What do you like about Pierre Boulez, then?
Well, there are two things I like. I like the fact that he's fabulously musical as a conductor of the modern repertoire. And secondly, I was always intrigued by the idea that he was rebuilding music under new laws.
Mm. And the idea of having what I suppose you could almost call an overture, well, overture with words, and then sort of breaking down and elaborating on some of the parts of it across the rest of the album. When did that come to you as a way of proceeding?
I suppose it was a nervous reaction to the length of the first piece. I was trying to spare you. So, yes, I just thought it was a good contrast to it. You've got this languid piece, more like an audio book, and then a more sprightly piece and more manageable instrumentals to follow.
I'm lost. Yes, I am lost. I'll grow a long and silver beard. I'll grow a long and silver beard and let it reach my knees.
How did you actually kind of orchestrate this? I mean, I had a brief chat with a Radio 3 producer up in Glasgow, I think it is, David McGuinness.
Ah, yes, David.
Yeah, so how did you proceed then to actually make your dream real?
Well, it's largely due to him, largely due to David McGuinness. I have it all on a computer at home. And I should say that I started the improvisation across the grid of the music software. You know, it's the same package that people do pop dance records on.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned the click track off. I ignored all that and played the music just into the computer. So when you switch on the score page and look at the score page, my music is written up there, but it bears no relation to the bars. So David had to try and decipher that. But I wrote all the parts on different instruments, and he would say, well, that's not a viola, that is a violin, and that's a double bass rather than a plucked note on a cello. But he took all this, and he did a great job in deciphering it. And in the end, we incorporated the real musicians with the keyboards that I programmed at home. But what I used at home were sample-based strings and trumpets and vibraphones. And you get used to that. It's a bit like, a friend of mine said to me, it's a bit like if you're watching Stingray or Thunderbirds. Things are okay until a real hand intrudes on the picture. I think electronic music works like that. We're all used to the idea of a virtual world. But there's no substitute for the texture of real strings moving in the air. I mean, and I'm a person who uses sample strings all the time. I know what I was going to say. Can I say to you what I was going to say before? You're talking about the problem is finding a way for people to listen to what you do, to finding a format that's suitable for it. And I completely agree that Itrolla Megahertz, it is not a good record if you want to do something else. Because when I finished it, I brought it home and I started to write out some bills, start to pay the bills and write some checks out. And I had it playing in the background and it was appalling. Because you have to bring your attention to bear to it. So the way I see it is it's perhaps more like listening to a play on the radio. So it's closer to that listening experience.
Well, the only sensible way to follow that is to let you all share the listening experience. So here is Paddy McAloon's 22-minute overture, I Trawl the Megahertz.